domesticated air. It was woodland rather than forest. The game trail they'd been following crossed a creek at a point where there were cart tracks, old but still not overgrown. Lobsang looked behind him after he'd walked across the ford and watched the water very slowly reclaim the shape of his footprints in the stream. He'd been trained in time-slicing on the snowfields above the valley, like the rest of the novices. That was so they couldn't come to any harm, the monks had said, although no one actually explained what harm they might come to. Outside the monastery, this was the first time Lobsang had sliced in a living landscape. It was marvellous. Birds hung in the sky. Early morning bumblebees hovered over the opening flowers. The world was a crystal made of living things. Lobsang slowed near a group of deer cropping the grass and watched as the nearest eye of one of them swiveled with geological slowness to watch him. He saw the skin move as the muscles underneath started to bunch for flight.
"Time for a smoke, oh," said Lutsang.
The world around Lobsang speeded up. The deer fled, along with the magic of the moment. "What's a smoko?" said Lobsang. He was annoyed. The quiet, slow world had been fun.
"You ever been to 4X?"
"No. There's a barman at the bunch of grapes from there, though." Lutsang lit one of his skinny cigarettes.
"Don't mean much," he said.
"The barman everywhere is from there.
Strange country.
Big time source right in the middle. Very useful. Time and space all tangled up. Probably all that beer. Nice place, though.
Now, you see that country down there?"
On one side of the clearing, the ground fell away steeply, showing treetops and, beyond, a small patchwork of fields tucked into a fold in the mountains. In the distance was a gorge, and Lobsang thought he could make out a bridge across it. "Doesn't look much like a country," he said. "Looks more like a shelf."
"That's which country?" said Lutsay. "And we're going to borrow a broomstick. Quickest way to Ankh-Morpork. Only way to travel."
"Isn't that, interfering with history? I mean, I was told that sort of thing is all right up in the valleys, but down here in the world..."
"Oh, it's absolutely forbidden," said Lutsay. "'Cause it's interfering with history. Got to be careful of your witch, of course. Some of them are pretty canny."
He caught Lobsang's expression.
"Look, that's why there's rules, understand, so that you think before you break 'em."
"But..." Lutsay sighed and pinched out the end of his cigarette.
"We're being watched," he said.
Lobsang spun round. There were only trees and insects buzzing in the early morning air.
"Up there," said Lutsay.
There was a raven perched on the broken crown of a pine tree, shattered in some winter storm. It looked at them, looking at it.
"Caw,"
it said. "It's just a raven," said Lobsang. "There's lots of them in the valley."
"It was watching us when we stopped.
There's ravens all over the mountains, Sweeper."
"And when we met the Yeti," Lutsay persisted.
"That settles it, then. It's a coincidence. One raven couldn't move that fast."
"Maybe it's a special raven," said Lutsay. "Anyway, it's not one of our mountain ravens. It's a lowland raven. Mountain ravens croak. They don't caw. Why is it so interested in us?"
"It's a bit weird, thinking you're being followed by a bird," said Lobsang.
"When you get to my age, you notice things in the sky," said Lutsay.
He shrugged and gave a grin.
"You start worrying they might be vultures."
They faded into time and vanished. The raven ruffled its feathers.
"Croak," it said. "Damn!"
Tick! Lobsang felt around under the thatched eaves of the cottage, and his hand closed on the bristles of a broomstick that had been thrust amongst the reeds. "This is rather like stealing," he said, as Lutsay helped him down.
"No, it's not," said the sweeper,
taking the broomstick and holding it up so he could look along its length.
"And I'll tell you why. If we sort things out, we'll drop it off on our way back and she'll never know it's gone. And if we don't sort things out, well, she'll still never know it's gone. Honestly, they don't take much care of their sticks, witches. Look at the bristles on this one. I wouldn't use this to clean a pond. Oh, well, back into clock time, lad. I'd hate to fly one of these things while I was slicing."
He straddled the stick and gripped the handle. It rose a little way.
"Good suspension, at least," he said. "And you can have the comfy seat on the back. Hold tight to my own broom and make sure you wrap your robe around you. These things are pretty breezy."
Lobsang pulled himself aboard and the stick rose. As it drew level with the lower branches around the clearing, it brought Lutsay to eye level with the raven. It shifted uneasily and turned its head this way and that, trying to fix both eyes on him.
"Are you going to caw or croak, I wonder?" said Lutsay,
apparently to himself.
"Croak,"
said the raven.
"So you're not the raven we saw..."